You're listening to Mind Your Own Business. Hi, I'm Scott Sullivan, your host. Mind Your Own Business is a weekly show that we do talking to some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs, helping you to be better at being a business professional by learning from all of the experience that these entrepreneurs and CEOs bring from all around the world. Exclusively here on Inspired News Radio. And now it's time for Mind Your Own Business.
Well, it's another great day right here at Inspired News Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Mind Your Own Business. As you know, I am Scott Sullivan. Most of you know me as Sales with Sully, and I am here with just an absolute fantastic guest. I am so excited. You know what we do right here on Mind Your Own Business. Every week, we bring you CEOs, entrepreneurs, successful people from all different walks of life that are making a difference, making an impact in our world every single day. And this week is absolutely no exception. A gentleman that I have gotten to know over the last few months that I just am thrilled. You know, there's so many times that I say on this show how great my guest is and how wonderful and all these other things. And that's true. But this one just stands out a little bit above head and shoulders. And you guys know why. As soon as you hear what he does, you're going to know why this man is so special and near and dear to my heart. Of course, if you haven't figured it out already, I'm talking about Keith Senzer. Keith Senzer is the CEO and founder of Power Shift Coaching. Now, you know, we have had a plethora of coaches on Mind Your Own Business, and they all are making a difference one person at a time, one group at a time, and they're changing the world for the positive every single day. But here's why Keith has that special place in my heart, and that's because he works with the most vulnerable, those kids of the world, the kids that are, you know, struggling to find their place in the world, the kids that are trying to figure out how do they get through middle school and high school and turn into productive adults. And this is, I mean, Keith, I got to stop because I got to tell you, I could go on and on and on. I'm so happy that you're here. Thank you very much for giving up an hour of your life and coming over to Mind Your Own Business today. How the heck are you?
I'm great. And I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you, Scott.
Well, Keith, I got to tell you, I want you to tell our listeners right now a little bit about Power Shift Coaching, how, you know, what you're doing today, some of the little bit of definition about what Power Shift Coaching is. And as you know, all my listeners, we dive right into the origin story after that. So tell us a little bit about Power Shift Coaching, and then let's get into how did this come about? I mean, I know, and I say this every week, you didn't probably just wake up one morning and go, oh, you know what, I'm going to go save the population of kids today. So somehow you kind of got your feet on this path. So tell us a little bit about Power Shift Coaching, and then let's dive into the origin story.
Sure. So, you know, my real purpose is I try to help teens find their true north and follow it through their words and actions so they create a more loving, accepting, and responsible, committed adult. And they can use what they've learned to change the world. You know, I think, unfortunately, if we look around what's going on, there's just so much, you know, bigotry and hatred and divisiveness in this country. And a lot of this comes from, you know, people growing up with certain belief systems. And if we don't get these kids to learn how to think differently and how to be more open-minded and more respectful about other people, whether it's their, you know, personal views, political views, race, religion, sex, gender, you know, they need to be more understanding of one another. And unfortunately, you know, they do character development in schools, but I don't believe it's consistent enough because, again, you know, in a district that has a lot of money, they can provide much more character development workshops on a much more consistent basis. And districts that don't, you know, the kids don't get the same benefit. It's interwoven into the curriculum, and it is federally granted and federally there's federal mandates to teach it, but there's definitely no consistency. And I think the problem is there's not enough trial and error. You could talk to kids all day long about a particular thing, but if you don't actually have them go out and do it and hold them accountable, they're not going to maintain that. You know, there's so much other stuff going on at that age. So really my goal is working with teens. I do one-on-one coaching with teens that are struggling. I do group coaching. I do workshops in schools. I work with teachers and educators. I do parent coaching on you know, I especially work with a lot of kids that have ADHD. So parents that struggle raising a kid with ADHD, I'm able to help because I've done that myself. And, you know, going into the origin, you want me to start there?
Yeah, absolutely. Because yeah. I know that ADHD is something that's, you know, close to home for you. And yeah, I'd like to kind of figure out now, how did you, you know, because you didn't start here, you started in a different career, but how did you find your way and your path to get into doing this with kids?
Sure. So I grew up, listening, honestly, in a really good neighborhood, great parents. You know, I didn't really want for anything, but I definitely struggled with self-esteem and self-confidence. So I also believe I had ADHD and it went undiagnosed because, you know, back then, you know, in the 70s and early 80s, it wasn't really a prevalent thing. We didn't know much about it. So, you know, I struggled academically. We had an impact on personal feelings towards myself. And I was very shy and introverted. And, you know, I got bitten in middle school and high school. So, you know, for me, that whole experience, when I graduated high school, I barely graduated high school with like a 70-something average. And my parents used to get progress reports all the time. You know, he's so smart. I don't understand why. And it was really my self-esteem and my inability to focus. So they were like, you're really good with people. You should go to hotel management school. You'll be great talking to people. And I did. I really wanted to be a child psychologist. But, you know, my parents, God bless them, they meant well, you know, didn't feel that I would be able to because they were thinking how much work would be involved to go do that. So they suggested this path, and me not having enough self-confidence or conviction of myself, I went and did it. And it was great. I was in the hotel business for many years. I owned a couple of catering halls. And in 2014, I just decided I don't want to do this anymore. I have a son with ADHD. I have a daughter with generalized anxiety disorder. And just watching what they had to do and their struggles, but really what's for me, what was inspiring is they never let these struggles get the best of them. Like, they taught me how they can live with something like this and how to wear like a badge of courage instead of a detriment. And, you know, my son is probably one of the most self-confident people you'll ever meet for a kid with ADHD. And my daughter, with all her anxiety, is the most driven, determined, successful young woman. So it's they inspire me to be like, I wish all kids could be like mine. Like, of course, everybody says their kids are the best. I love my kids, but they really are incredible role models for me and I think for other children. So I decided this is what I want to do. I want to help other parents whose kids are struggling with similar things to find their best version of themselves. And it doesn't necessarily have to be that. Some kids struggle with depression and some kids, you know, there's so many kids that are on Zoloft now. I mean, nobody was on antidepressants or anxiety medication when I was growing up. And there's so many of the kids are now. And a lot of it has to do with social media, the pressures from society, the pressure we have from just education and everybody trying to get into the best schools. It's just, there's so much noise in the world that these kids have to absorb and deal with. And if they don't feel good about who they are, or they're not 100% confident in, you know, why they're here on this planet and what their purpose is, they will struggle with that. And that's what I try to help them find.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So, but I want to expand on that just a little bit, because what you're doing now, and you've touched on it, but I want to talk a little bit more about it in depth. You're not specifically working with just kids that are suffering from, you know, any of this whole litany of things that we're diagnosing our kids with now. I mean, you and I grew up in the kind of the same era, and if you couldn't, you know, they didn't even diagnose dyslexia, much less ADHD or anything else when you and I were in, you know, grade school and high school. So it was like, right. Okay, you just, this kid just can't learn or is having a problem or can't take tests or whatever. It's just, so they just modified the curriculum to try and help. But today we over-medicate, I think, in my opinion, but you take a kid to the doctor, and I think some of it is very legitimate, but I also think sometimes it's a little bit of a crutch by saying, you know, these things could be taken care of, but it takes effort and so let's take the easiest path and let's just medicate the kid. So what you do is you work with all of this age range of these kids, these teens that are trying to find their true north. And it doesn't matter. You don't have to come to Keith and say, hey, I think my son has ADHD. No, I think my son is 13. So he needs he needs to understand life a little better. And what you and I talked about and what I loved so much about what you said when we were getting to know each other is that, you know, the 13-year-old won't listen to his mom and dad, but Keith could say the exact same script. It could be exactly the same advice, and all of a sudden you're a genius, right? Because you're just not mom and dad. I mean, let's talk about that a little bit.
Sure. Well, it's like the cob of the shoes, you know. Like my kids, I love them, but even me, they're not going to listen to everything. Like when I have a conversation, they're like, "Stop coaching me, Dad." You know, they know because it's me. But if somebody else told them that, so you know. Parents, the other thing that I try to teach kids is like the parent perspective. Like there's a reason your parents are the way they are. Like they love you. They care about you. You know, you have to understand they're going to be concerned. And in the world we live in with so much going on, there's fear. You know, parents have fear of what can happen. And sometimes they unconsciously put that fear on their kids, right? So the kids feel the pressure and they feel the discomfort from that. And they don't want to share what they have to share because they're worried about, you know, what's mom and dad going to think? You know, are they going to think most kids, they want to please their parents, they're pleasers. They want to do the right thing. They want to make their parents proud. They want to make them happy. And when they're struggling with something, if they don't have the confidence to ask for help and to be vulnerable with their parents, they're going to hide that. And if they don't have anybody else to tell that to, that's going to just eventually, it's like a disease, you know, it's just going to get in there and just fester and get worse. But if they have somebody that they can say it to, that they're comfortable with, that's not mom or dad, that can help them navigate that conversation with mom and dad, that's a whole different ballgame. That opens up a whole different conversation and actually changes the relationship with the parents and will eventually lead to them being able to share these things with their parents that they normally wouldn't. So it's so important. So I'm like a mentor many times, you know, and I think you had alluded to it before. Part of the issue, I think, is a lot of parents are just, I don't think they're so aware of coaching. You know, we all grew up with, you know, if somebody's struggling, you send them to therapy. And therapy is great, I mean, for certain things. And I work with a lot of therapists in tandem with kids together. We work on the same things, but we approach them different ways. But sometimes a kid doesn't need therapy. They just need some type of mentor or somebody they can talk to that can offer some suggestions and ask the right questions so they can come to these realizations on their own about what they need to change about themselves. And, you know, that's really what coaches do. And I found that so many kids have confided in me, and some like really deep, you know, dark things that they told me that I was able to help them deal with and get the parents involved and get them the help they need. You know, I've had kids admit to me that they've had suicidal thoughts, you know, and I'll immediately refer them to a psychiatrist. But at the same time, I've already got the connection with them. So they still rely on me, and being able to work with a psychologist and the parent and help them through that. You know, I've been able to help a lot of kids get off that path and start to shift their minds in a direction where, you know, they're going to be happy and that depression and those thoughts start to go away. But it's a process.
Yeah, that's, you know, this is really interesting because, Keith, I'm now getting a different facet of you. I've gotten to know you so much over the last few months, and I respect exactly what you're doing. I love what you're doing, and I'm such a fan. But now I'm starting to open up this door a little bit, and I'm thinking about it as a coach versus a therapist. If I have a therapist that I sit in every Friday at 2 o'clock, and I go in and sit down and, you know, talk to my therapist or whatever. You know, I've been in therapy in the past, and it's usually been that one 50-minute session a week or every other week, or, you know, and you just try and, you know, how does that make you feel? And, you know, you talk about, you know, some of that talk therapy that you try and work through. But I'm thinking of a coach as a more, I don't want to say casual is not the right word, but I'm trying to figure out what the phraseology would be here. But like, I mean, do you communicate with like, via text? And I mean, or is it, I mean, I know there are structures, there's structure to it, but if one of your clients or one of your kids, which I'm sure you feel like they're all your kids, if one of your clients, which is one of your kids, text you at, you know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm assuming that if, unless you're with a client, you're probably engaging back with that client again or with that kid again, because I mean that's so different than a therapist. Talk about that a little bit. How is it more casual?
I mean, it's different. I don't know if casual. I mean, yes. If somebody texts me, I tell all my clients, and even the kids that I do the workshops with, I give my cell phone. I'm like, listen, if you ever have one of those moments and you need a little pick me up, shoot me a text. If I don't answer you right away, I'm probably with somebody, but I'll always get back to you. So I will constantly, you know, answer texts from these kids anytime they need something. But I think the best way to explain the difference between therapy and coaching really is therapists deal with the why. You know, why is somebody like this? Why do you have these behaviors? Granted, a lot of what I do is cognitive based and I eventually get there, but therapists are trained to really dig deep and go to the why. Coaches deal with the what. You know, it's like, okay, you've had these bad experiences. They brought you to this point. I get it. I understand that. We can talk about that a little, but really, what are we doing now? You know, sorry,
that's
I have a dog.
So cool. No, we love it. We love everybody working from home, especially in this time of our world right now, the middle of COVID. We love having, I got dogs too, so it's wonderful. We love it.
Different times. But
Wait a minute. I don't want to lose that point because your dog barked, because I want to put that on a t-shirt, right? The why is the therapist's job, but the what is the coach's job.
That is so perfect.
That is so perfect. So what is it that we're doing now and what are we going to do in the next 5 minutes? Because the what is what makes the difference immediately, today, right this second. You're dealing with, I want to say, past versus present too, because the therapist is kind of digging into the past. I guess I'm just extrapolating out what I'm hearing you say. But the what, it's so cool. That is so cool because it's like, you know, and I don't even want to say crisis because crisis isn't the right word. But when a teen is going through something, do you know, I wish I had a dollar for every time that my dad or my mom said when I was growing up, oh, you know, this will just be a memory. You'll never even consider this when you're an adult. You won't even remember this or whatever. And I'm thinking, yeah, but right now I feel like the world is crushing me. So so I love that. I love that. We're dealing with the what, not the why.
Yeah. And language is so important. Like you just said, you know, as parents, I mean, you know, our kids are born, you know, the doctor hand us a baby and say, okay, here you go, you're dad. But there's no rule book. There's no playbook. You know, we all do the best we can. And listen, therapists are like, it's so important to have a therapist at certain points. I mean, there's certain kids that just need it. Like, you know, they're not just dealing with, okay, I'm unorganized, I need help organizing. You don't need a therapist for that. You need a coach for that. But if you're dealing with, you know, depression or you're dealing with some type of anxiety, you know, you definitely need a therapist. But the therapist is going to help you understand your anxiety, understand why you have it. But a coach is going to say, I recognize you have the anxiety. You know, now that we know that, let's figure out, let's take some baby steps to help you step outside your comfort zone and start to deal with that anxiety. And so I gently push them outside their comfort zone. And working along with a therapist, when we're talking together and we're supporting the same groundwork, it works wonders. I mean, I have 3 or 4 clients I work with that I work with the same therapist. And we have such great success with these kids because we're really working on the same thing. We're just approaching it from very different aspects. But at the end of the day, the end game is the same. And as long as we communicate with each other, we get so much done. So it's so important to give these kids wins. You know, they have to take these baby steps. You can't just throw them in the water and say swim. You got to let them put their pinky toe in. You got to let them test it, you know, get comfortable in there. But they at least need to do that. You know, when you get the kid who says, I'm not stepping outside, you know, if you're not willing to step outside that comfort zone, nothing's going to change for you. But that's what I'm here to do. I'm going to help you. You know, I'm going to guide you outside that comfort zone. I'm not going to throw you in the freezing water. We're going to go in gently. We're going to get used to the water. And then we're going to get into the shallow end. And then we're going to eventually get into the deep end. We're going to do it at your pace. But if they have some small wins along the way, that just empowers them to step outside even more. And usually with teens, because the way their minds think, and a lot of them, especially middle school, they're not all, their minds are not quite developed yet to comprehend this the way they need to. So it's great because they're malleable and you can really work with them. And once they start seeing these wins, they take off. They're like, this is great. Give me the next one. So the what part is so important. It's, I understand you have an issue. I recognize it. I know how to navigate it, and you're going to speak to your therapist on that. But now that we know it, what are we doing about it? And how are we moving forward? Let's not worry about why you're like this. Let's worry about how we're going to not be like this anymore.
Yeah, and what we're going to do tomorrow when you go back to school tomorrow? What's it going to be like?
Exactly.
That's so cool. Okay. So the other thing you talked about, which I want to touch on just for a second too before, and that is that the coaching is not, I mean, it's primarily for the teen, of course, it's for the kid, but I love what you said is that it's also, it's a family affair. You talk to the mom and dad, especially I'm assuming now here, I'm just making all these assumptions because I'm sitting here in my mind, but especially if mom and dad aren't on the same page, maybe they're divorced. Maybe there's stress or strain in the family. The teens, I get the feeling that they probably are like an amplifier. They're pulling in this signal that they're getting from mom and dad, and they're amplifying it to whatever. So that could be, so you find not only are you dealing with the what, but you're also dealing with the parents and the siblings and any other extraneous signals that they're getting, because you're also coaching the adults at the same time. Hopefully, I'm assuming that you're giving that guidance. You know, because once you identify the what and you start working with the teen, you can also go back to the parents and say, hey, you know, you guys are a big cause of this problem. Why don't we calm down some of this?
Right. Well, you're right. It's like the school teacher, you know, like after I speak to the kids, you know, I will usually, one thing I do tell the kids is like, they're my client, not their parents. So the confidentiality is really between me and the teen, and I don't really go back to the parents and share things with them that, you know, the teen isn't willing to share themselves. But, you know, I want the parents to reinforce the behaviors that I'm asking the teen to display. So, you know, if I say to a teen, listen, you need to have this conversation with your parents, and this is how I want you to approach it. You know, this is the best way to do it so they will understand your viewpoint. I'll say to the parents, your son or your daughter is going to come speak to you about something, and I just need you to be open-minded, hear what they have to say, don't jump to conclusions, and let them finish. I think you'll be very impressed with what they have to say. And so I'll always talk to the parents and give them the space to understand what's happening, because I need them to reinforce the behaviors that I want to happen. But at the same time, there are some instances where I've dealt with that with divorced parents, or I've dealt with parents who are married and they have completely opposite viewpoints on how to raise their kid. So the child's not getting consistent signals. And I've had to have those tough conversations where I've said to the parents, listen, I can help, but you're not helping. This is what I need you to do to help this process. And that's not an easy conversation to have, but doing what I do and trying to be as authentic as I can be to myself and for these kids, you have to have those conversations. And most of the time they work out. Once in a while, you get those parents who don't really want to hear it. And all I can do at that point is, you know, give 150%, trying to help the kid as best I can. But most parents are pretty receptive. And I think a lot of the parenting too is like when I was growing up, my mother was home. You know, my father worked, my mother was home. She raised us. I had a mother at home. Now, most parents are working, both sets of parents. They're working a lot of hours. We live in a different world than, like you said, like you and I were growing up in. So, you know, it's not the parents' fault many times. They have so much to juggle that they could barely juggle their own lives. And then they're trying to raise kids the best they can and make the best decisions they can. And listen, they're going to get frustrated and say things they don't mean to say or react to things in ways they don't necessarily want to react. And they regret it afterwards and they'll try to rectify it. But it's just the world we live in, unfortunately. So
it is, you know, you're right. You're right. That's for sure. Okay. So yeah. You opened up another little box there. Like could be Pandora. I want to just talk about this for just 2 seconds. So you talked about the confidentiality. You are in a, I don't want to say contractual obligation, but you have an obligation to this teen and you need to build trust and rapport with them. So you say, look, what I've got going on right now with you is confidential, and I'm not going to share this with your parents unless we, you know, I mean, you're navigating some really treacherous waters, because I know some parents that are just, you really need to get parental buy-in, right? Because the clients that are coming to you, I mean, sure that there are probably kids that are recommending to, hey, Sally, you should talk to Keith. He's my coach. He's really cool. And there, you may get that lead. But I would say, just again, making assumptions, the bulk of your business comes from parents who are kind of seeing the struggle and wishing there was a way they could, you know, navigate these waters, and I'll go get some help from Keith. So how does that, I mean, that is a really sticky wicket, as they say. Talk about that a little bit.
So you mean just as far as like the agreement I have with the kids and getting the parents to understand that.
I mean, do you have that conversation with the parents early on that says, look, I'm not going to tell you. I mean, is that an agreement you have with the parents?
Yeah. I will not take on a client. I hate to say this. If I have that helicopter parent, right. Yeah. I will flat out tell them that I can help your kid. I want to help your kid. I'm committed to helping your kid, but this is how I work. And if you're not comfortable with this, like I'm not able to help you. Like you have to back off. You have to let me talk to him. You have to understand the confidentiality. And like I said, I will tell the parent that you will be informed. I will keep you updated on what's going on. I'll let you know what I need you to do to help reinforce what I'm trying to do. And I'll always tell the kid that I'm working with, I'm going to speak to your parents later. I'm going to tell them this, and I'm going to tell them exactly what I'm going to tell them. So when they do hear it from mom and dad, they're not, what did Keith tell them? They're not wondering, what did Keith tell them? I'm telling them exactly what I'm going to tell them. So it makes the parents more comfortable and it keeps the trust with the team. But it's like you said, you know, there's certain situations, like some kids, like I said, I've dealt with kids that told me they're having suicidal thoughts. And, you know, that pretty much right there, we end the conversation and the conversation becomes, okay, we need to tell your parents, you know, we could do it together right now, or you're going to promise me that as soon as I leave this meeting, you're going to tell them, and this is how you're going to tell them. And, you know, that's usually what I'll do. And either they'll be like, can you help me? And, you know, I'll ask the parents to come in and I'll explain, you know, your son or your daughter has been thinking this. I think you need to have them seen by a psychiatrist. I can help them as well, but they need to see a professional to deal with the depression piece. Or, you know, I make them text me and I will say to the parent, listen, your son or daughter is going to talk to you about something today. If they don't speak to you by 7, 8 o'clock tonight, I need you to text me and let me know, you know, and I've had that happen. And I'll text the kid. Did you speak to your mother? No. I'm like, you need to do this today. We talked about this. Like, this is not a joke. You need to talk to them today. So I make sure that that conversation happens like the same day, because you never know, a kid with depression, and I'm actually trained in mental health. I took a special course on teen mental health and how to see it and how to know the signs. And anytime, you know, I'll ask certain questions when a kid mentions that to me to make sure that, you know, they don't have a plan, that they haven't really acted out on it. It's just a thought at the moment. And if that's the case, then, you know, I'm okay walking away and letting them have that conversation within the next few hours. You know, if the kid said I had a plan and this and that, you know, that there is, we need to get your parents over here right now. We need to address it. And I've never had a problem. Most of the kids that I've worked with, the two or three that I've experienced this with, you know, we're actually grateful. Actually having that conversation with their parents, that right there made them feel better because they had all this pent up. Yeah. And that depression, it was part of it was like the fear of what are my parents going to think of me? And when they tell them and the parents give them a hug and say, it's okay, we're going to get through this, that right there takes away half the depression that they were struggling with.
Yeah. I mean, and kids are, you know, when we were kids, you know, teen pregnancy or, you know, I mean, there were like three or four things that kind of like, you know, were the big giant boulders in the stream for us when we were kids. And now the kids have, I mean, I just can't imagine being a kid today with everything that's online and everything, all the pressures. And then the like you said, the helicopter parents and the pressure to succeed and colleges. And I mean, there was, it just seemed like, now, I mean, I know I'm just sounding like a really old fogey right now, but it seemed like it was a simpler time, right? In the 80s, in the 70s and 80s, I didn't have a smartphone. There was no such thing, right? I didn't have anything online. If you were being bullied, it's probably at recess at the school. I mean, you know, nobody was calling you fat, you know, or ugly or anything else online. And, you know, millions of people were seeing it or, you know, somebody, you know, spray painted your garage door. I mean, there was literally not the pressures that our kids have today. And I just, first of all, I'm amazed that our kids can even navigate it. But it also feels like that we're forcing our kids to grow up so much faster and address very serious adult problems that are not, that weren't the same, at least just one generation ago. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Am I barking up that wrong tree?
No, I remember getting home from school. You know, I went home, I did my homework for an hour, I went and played ball, I came home for dinner. That was it. You know, these kids are up till 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning trying to make the perfect essay and you know, and then the cyberbullying. I mean, listen, teen suicide right now it's as high as it's ever been, you know, and it's all because of these pressures that they feel and everything going on in society. I mean, it just, they have so much on their plate. And if we don't give them the tools to learn how to navigate that, and like you said before, I think you said earlier, you know, you want to say to them, oh, trust me, 10 years from now, you're going to look back on this and be like, I can't believe I got upset about it. It's true. You're right about that. It's 100% true. But in the moment, they don't want to hear that. They're struggling. They're suffering. And I tell you, the worst thing, and I do a lot of this and a lot of, because I don't just do one-on-one coaching. I do a lot of workshops as well, like group workshops. I work on social media, and I call cell phones weapons of mass distraction.
Okay, there's a t-shirt, weapons of mass distraction. I love it.
I mean, they, you know, like I talk to them all the time about like homework. You have these kids that do homework with their cell phone sit next to them. And every time the text goes off, they have to look at it. You know, it takes time for your brain to reach like peak efficiency. So you're doing work and you're like at your peak and you're like in your zone. And all of a sudden the phone rings or the text goes off and you look at it or you get a Facebook post or an Instagram like, and you become stupid. Like it automatically makes you dumb again and you have to start all over to get back. So it takes them longer to do their homework, longer to get things done because the distractions are just so bad. And then the other thing is that whole fear of missing out, you know, which the kids talk about FOMO, right? Which is, you know, if there's an activity or an event going on or they're not on social media seeing what's happening and they're not commenting, they feel like they're missing something. And then the dopamine hit they get when they get a like. Like they're just so, you know, social media has some great, great benefits, but it's like anything. If we don't learn to use it in moderation, it could destroy you. And so I really, really, I spend a lot of time with them on learning how to deal with this. Like one of the exercises I actually do, I tell them, do you have an app on your phone, like a game or an app that you cannot stop? Not really social media, because it would be unfair to ask them to do this with social media, but a game or something. And they're like, yeah. I'm like, delete it. Like that's the point. I will make them delete it right there in the workshop. And they look at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, just do it for the week. It's going to save all your information. And they'll delete it for the week. And they'll come back the next week to the next work, you know, to the next workshop. And they'll be like, it's amazing. Like I saved myself hours and I was much more productive this week. I'm like, yeah, because you don't have that stupid game popping up going, oh, you got another thing. Go check it. You know, so social media and is the bullying that goes on there. Like we have to teach them how to use social media to their advantage, but we also have to teach them to step away from it and that you can't be attached to that phone, because if you're constantly looking for likes and you're constantly posting content, and then some of the content they post is just so stupid, you know, or, I mean, you ever go on TikTok? Like I make a joke. Yeah. I, you know, every TikTok video is, you know, some guy in a bathing suit or some girl in a bikini. I'm like that's not what, you know, that's not what you should be posting on social media, you know? So that's just my opinion. Maybe I'm old fashioned.
I'm right there with you, brother. I'm trying to understand. I don't understand it too, but that fear of missing out and all that other stuff that you're talking about is so real. It is, you know, the struggle is real, as they say, because it is amazing to me how, you know, and you talked about the dopamine hit that they get from the like or whatever, but the other thing too is that, you know, we didn't have to. You and I are what I call digital immigrants. We grew up in an analog world, right? It was real black and it was real white. It was very binary. And then the kids today don't know any different. They don't know. This is the only environment they know, right? Mm-hmm. And so they grew up in this environment and it's sort of like become the norm. So when I say to my kids, you know, you put your phone down and look at me, or I say to my grandson, you know, put your phone down and look at me, let's have a conversation, they just look at me like I have three heads. So they just, you know, I am not exaggerating. My daughter will be in the other side of the house visiting. She'll be on the other side of the house and she'll text me.
I get that all the time.
And I'll say, I'll pick up my phone and I'll look at it and I'll go, why did you text me? I mean, we're literally, you know, 10 yards away. You're 30 feet from me. And she said, well, I didn't want to yell. Well, how about, hey, Dad, I need to talk to you for a second.
Right. Well, how about the kids when they were younger and you would carpool them and they'd be in the back seat texting each other because they don't want you to hear the conversation. And then you hear the fingers, you hear the fingers going, but there's no, you know, my daughter used to do that all the time. I would just ignore her. I'm like, or I would text her back, if you stand up and walk 20 feet, you'll see me and then we can actually talk in person. But,
oh, that's so funny. I love I didn't think about that, but they're texting each other because they don't want mom and dad to hear their, that is funny.
Yeah.
So you know, that never really dawned on me.
All the time. It's crazy. But
that,
you know,
so funny. So it sounds like then, you know, power shift coaching is, I mean, you, I just, every time I have this conversation with you, I get a higher level of respect for what you're doing, because you are literally changing the world one kid at a time, because helping these kids navigate, I mean, you're like the combination of a, you know, big brother, a mentor, a coach. I mean, you're all of these things, you know, where the safe place for these kids. And I absolutely love it. I am so impressed with what you're doing. So we have thousands of listeners all over the world right now that are listening. And so let's talk about how do our listeners, now I doubt seriously we have any teens listening, because this really is kind of a, you know, it's sort of an adult, you know, my demographics is usually, you know, 25 and above. But if you are the parents or grandparents or aunts or uncles, or if you have kids in your life that any of this is resonating with you, how do our listeners then engage with Power Shift Coaching? How do they engage with you, Keith? Where do we find you, other than, of course, going to, you know, shiftyourpower.com, which is your website? But what's the best way for them to engage with you and get some of their questions answered and maybe understand a little bit more about the services you offer?
Sure. Well, my phone number is on all my social media and all my websites, so you can.
Oh, that's get me. Dangerous. That's dangerous.
You know what? Everybody says that to me. My philosophy is like, there's a purpose. Like, I'm doing this for a reason, and I need to make myself accessible. Like, if somebody's gonna call me, let them call me. If I can help, like if that phone call is made a difference between helping a kid and not helping a kid, I'm okay with it. You know, if it goes off on a Saturday afternoon, I'm out with my wife, I'll call them back. But I'd rather them have access to me, because I think what I'm doing is so needed and so important. And I don't want there not to be a way to access me. But I'm on LinkedIn. I'm also on Facebook. I'm on Instagram as Coach Keith S, just because Coach Keith wasn't available. But, you know, I post videos, you know, a couple times a week. And they're usually stories. I'll tell stories that tie in some coaching. But, you know, one thing I would love to just say to parents listening to this, because it's so important, and I understand the difficulty of this being a parent, is we never want to see our kids fail. Like, we're so scared to see them fail or to see them get hurt when they make bad decisions. But the truth of the matter is they have to fail, and we have to let them make these bad decisions, because failure is an opportunity for growth and learning, you know? And if we don't let them fail, and we constantly try to protect them from hurt, as much as it hurts us to watch them in pain, they need sometimes to feel that pain, because that pain is going to be the motivator to get them to think differently and to make different decisions and better decisions. So that's the one advice I would give as a parent. I know it's hard. Trust me, I struggle with it. And believe me, even as a coach, there's many times that I intervene when I probably shouldn't, because I was too afraid to see what was going to happen. But when I catch myself and I take a step back and I let things take their course, it is amazing how strong our kids are and how resilient they are, and how the failure will not have the impact on them that we actually think it will. It'll actually make them better and stronger.
That's fantastic advice. Keith, thank you so much. Now, I do know you're on all the social media platforms. Of course, you're LinkedIn. For all of those adults out there right now that are in the business world, you can find Keith Senzer, S-E-N-Z-E-R, on LinkedIn. And of course, Power Shift Coaching, that's the way you find him on LinkedIn. Of course, Facebook, we'll put all of the show notes on where you find, wherever you get your podcast, we will put all the show notes and the links on there so that you can find it. And so if you're driving right now, if you're commuting, I know a lot of my listeners are commuting or they don't have access to be able to write this stuff down. We will make it easy, simple for you to find it. It's super simple. Just go to the show notes and click on any of the links, and then you will find all of Keith's social media and his website. And like he said, he puts a cell phone number right out there. So, you know, don't be bashful. If you're finding that this is something that's resonating with you and you're thinking, you know, I've been struggling with this, my beautiful, wonderful kid turned into this, you know, this three-headed monster when they turn 13, and I'm having struggles dealing with them and they're having struggles dealing with me. What might be the solution is just a really good coach to help doing that. Now, are there any geographic limitations? Because you do this, across the different medias? I mean, what about the folks in California or the folks in Florida? Because I know you're in upstate New York. So what are there any limitations to what you can offer?
No, I'm actually on Long Island, but no, oh. I do everything virtual. So, I mean, I actually do a lot in person, but I also do virtual. So, you know, like I'm working with a couple of kids, one in Texas and one in Boston right now. So very many times, you know, we'll get up on Zoom, or I have my own platform that I use that I can speak to them. Even the workshops I do, you know, I do group workshops. I got kids from all over the country that come onto the workshops. So if it's local, obviously, you know, I have an office in my home. So a lot of kids come here, but right now with COVID and everything, a lot of the stuff I've been doing is virtual. There's a few kids who I think benefit from me being one-on-one. So, you know, we'll go social distance at their house or something where they're more comfortable, but absolutely.
One-on-one. And then also you're available for, if there are professionals around the country that want you as a speaker for their workshops, for their coaching, for their seminars for the weekend or whatever they're having, if it has to do with youth. And your specialty is sort of that 12 to early college, so like 12 to 20, is that kind of the range?
I would even say grad school. You know, it's funny. I actually coach a lot of adults too, because I work for a healthcare company that does online telecoaching, but mm-hmm. the kids are my passion, and that's really what I focus on. So I would say 12 for sure, up until about 24, 25. That's my range. My biggest niche where I seem to get the most is usually high school. The high school kids, 11th and 12th grade, seems to be a big, because they're transitioning to college and the parents are concerned about them being independent and going off on their own. So that age group, I tend to get a lot of kids in that age group.
Yeah, and the pressures of the world are compounded at that age. I mean, you're less protected by mom and dad, and you're now making decisions about drugs and alcohol and sex and hormones and all the other stuff that's going on. I mean, those pressures, although there when you're younger, they seem to compound as you get a little. The more independence you get, the more decisions you have to make, which adds stress to your life, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here, guys. I just can't believe this, Keith. This has been, I can't believe the whole hour has just flown by like this. I mean, I barely even blinked. I have so many, I have a whole page of questions here I need to ask you. So we're definitely going to have to get you back because we're going to have to do some follow-up. But thank you for the nuggets. Thanks for leaving these chunks in the stream that we can pick up that are going to make life better. The one thing that comes that resonates, if you haven't listened to the whole show, you need to go back, because that therapists deal with the why and coaches deal with the what, man, we're putting that on a t-shirt. That is so cool, because it's this living in the moment right now. What's happening today, this instant? How are we going to address that? Because we don't need to know why it happened. The therapist will work that out. What we need to know is how we're going to navigate it today, right now, because this is the moment where it feels like it's bone crushing or soul crushing. So let's deal with it today and then move on. So thank you for leaving those nuggets behind. So, and we're going to follow those breadcrumbs right to shiftyourpower.com, which is the website. And we're going to connect with Keith Senzer on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, all those other places. And we really appreciate you being here today so much.
I appreciate you having me, Scott. Thank you.
Well, every week I say it, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. You, the listeners, make what I do possible. If I didn't have you, I could not do what I do. I really so much appreciate you. My guest today has been Keith Senzer. He's the CEO and founder of Power Shift Coaching, and his website is Shift Your Power. And we'll put all of those show notes together. Wherever you get your podcasts, you, the listener, are the one that make this show just meaningful. Send those cards and letters, as they say, you know, get on social media and let us know if you enjoyed the show, like it, you know, write a review. Wherever you get your podcast, just scroll down to the bottom of that page, hit that like button, hit that review button. Tell two or three friends that, hey, Mind Your Own Business is a cool place. I want to thank the folks over at Inspired News Radio, because that is the primary platform where I put out my shows each and every week. Inspired News Radio is a place where positive programs that are delivered to the world that are specifically designed to inspire, inform, educate, and motivate. And we hit all of those buttons. buttons today, because Keith did a fantastic job. But Inspired News Radio is a place that you can go to anytime and find my show. You can download it. You can stream it. You can listen to it live. Whatever you want to do, you can share it. You can pass it on to friends. Anything that you want. We're always looking for listeners. And if you'd love to be a guest or know somebody that is a guest, don't hesitate to reach out to me. You can find me on all the same social media platforms that you can find Keith. I'm at Sales with Sully, which is my other show that I do each week for sales professionals. But I so appreciate you because without the listeners, my job would just be non-existent. So thank you so much for listening. And I sign off the same way every single show, and I mean it. Mind your own business, because nobody else is going to.
You've been listening to Mind Your Own Business, right here on InspiredNewsRadio.com. Thanks for tuning in each week as we interview some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs in the world. You can reach us on Twitter at INR Talk Radio. Always use the hashtag MYOB for Mind Your Own Business. Make sure you stop by and check out all of the past episodes and all the great things that are available on our website, www.inspirednewsradio.com. There's great resources there that you can find for all of our other shows, too. Thanks for being a part of the Inspired News Radio family. Until next week, remember to mind your own business.